other epic, shattering, bloody victories of the 11 months following D-Day. In contrast to the ruthless German army crushing machine that the British Army had become in 1944, Arnhem offers a last stand, our last proper defeat of the war, and it casts an irresistible shadow for anyone who wants to feast on failure, futility, heroism, and drama at a time when the war was headed in only one direction. Arnhem, of course, comes to most people via the movies, in a way that has become impossible to ignore. It is that rare thing, a battle that lives in the popular imagination. The extraordinary, theirs is the glory, set the tone. It is perhaps hard to think of a stranger cinematic artifact, made on the battlefield itself in 1946, the burned-out tanks still present, vivid in black and white, using footage shot during the battle alongside reenactment, the players themselves veterans of the battle. Then, in the 1970s, up against Star Wars, came A Bridge Too Far, Richard Attenborough's paradoxical anti-war movie that made gallant defeat seem so attractive. His camera feasting on the maroon beret glamour his panoply of stars offered him, a glamour that had been tarnished in that decade by more recent bitter events in Northern Ireland. With its gee-whiz can-do Americans, its steely Germans, and a heavy helping of tea-drinking Brits, some of whom are awfully unhelpful chaps in the RAF, William Goldman's screenplay set the popular narrative in stone. Chipping away at that narrative seems Sisyphean, but here we are. The battle came to me via my father. After his national service in the mid-1950s, which came at a time of imperial withdrawal and nuclear expansion, Dad stayed in the Territorial Army as a parachute engineer. He had an appetite for the challenges that being an airborne soldier offered. They played hard, they lived a life of adventure, and the sappers were triple-hatted, soldiers, engineers, parachutists all at once. It's the parachuting I remember, of course. His squadron practiced jumping into the sea off Guernsey, so there were photographs and tales of that when I was a small boy. I suspect now, like much of this kind of activity, it was an excuse for a jolly, and trips to see him jump from a balloon. I have a vivid and no doubt embellished memory of trying to help him with his reserve chute by picking it up by its red handle and being told rather emphatically what a bad idea that was. I'd have been fired across Salisbury Plain by its spring. But Arnhem was part of this picture. Officers Dad knew, such as Eric Mackay, had been at Arnhem, as well as others who had fought in Normandy, of course, and one of his NCOs in his TA establishment had fought at the bridge. So, we went to see A Bridge Too Far. I remember the crashes and the bangs, the utterly mind-blowing scenes of the parachute landings done for real, en masse, but I also remember his niggles with the film, wrong tanks, actors' haircuts, rotten saluting, the mischaracterisation of people he knew, and events he'd heard about firsthand. But I was bitten by the battle's bug. It became a subject to return to, again and again, and something we could and would discuss ad infinitum. We don't do football, see? For my O-level, I produced a project about the Battle of Arnhem, even visiting the National Archive, or Public Record Office, as it was then, presenting a letter from a history teacher as a reference on arrival, where I read the war diaries. We visited Arnhem, on the road from Wolfhazer into Oosterbeek, where I drank a delicious cold cider, that memory has stuck, and was almost run over by a moped in the cycle lane by the bridge, a place offering fresh danger 40 years after the battle. Each new book that appeared would get the once over. Each time, I'd find myself willing on the men of First Airborne to succeed this once. And each time, I'd be disappointed. When Dad retired, I suggested that he write about Arnhem. This got short shrift. There's nothing new to be said, he said. I found it hard to disagree. And yet, new scholarship emerges, time passes, and fresh perspectives force their way forward, even though the 9 days fighting the battle tends to force all accounts of it into the same shape. Once the struggle at the bridge has ended, the battle in the Oosterbeek perimeter becomes a British Alamo, and amidst the endurance, sacrifice and suffering, an echo of repetition and fatalism emerges. So, now, in writing finally about Arnhem, how does one avoid these patterns? How can the story be approached afresh? After all, one of the attractions about the battle is that it was short and relatively contained. It has this in common with D-Day, the celebration of which often overlooks the 10 weeks of savage fighting that followed it, as well as the months of naval and aerial battle.